This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. And that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do is, when you're no longer able to take care of the normal duties that you have at home and you're thinking about maybe having to relocate, they will come in 24/7, take care of all those duties for you and many more, and make sure that you're still able to maintain the quality of life that you're used to. And if you are listening to this and you feel like you do need that service, give them a call at 713-4639, 713-4639, or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And we have two very special guests today, and this is going to be a lot of fun because we have two very interesting people. We have James Manning, who is the director. Is that the right term, director, curator of the Oakland's Mansion?
You had it right. I'm the director. Nala Gober's our curator.
Oh, okay. Now, that has got to be an interesting job because you're living in some of the greatest history of this community when you're going to Oakland. And you do so many things for the community. And how is it you ended up out there, James?
I had 20 hours of volunteer work to do for Introduction to Public History in 1999.
And I'm glad you said that. I thought you said 20 hours of civil service to do after being locked
community
up.
Service.
Okay, good.
No, no.
Ooh, I was getting worried there for a minute.
I have plenty of community service workers, but I didn't start out as one of them.
And I've been through there, and you guys do a lot of great things as far as putting on I went through, and they actually, I felt like I was in the 1860s when they were talking about how the war was going on.
Well, and, good. That's what we're going for.
And it was just like I was living during that time, and it was amazing. You really do a great job portraying all those things.
And we've got a lot of great volunteers and staff, and people tell us that when they visit Oakland's, they really feel like they're in a home. They're not, you know, behind plexiglass walls and stanchions, and we're glad of that.
And you've got one of your old buddies here today, and somebody I think a lot of, Mr. Jim Ridley. And he is one of these people that if you've been in Rutherford County either 70 years, I'm not, or 1 year, you know him. I mean, Jim, you're one of these people that you seem to reach out to everybody, and you're so pleasant to be around.
Oh, Truman, thank you. I try. I do the best I can.
Now, you were in the classes of early 50s at Central High School.
Yes, I graduated in 1950.
Which is considered, the perfect time to have gone through Central, because all the teachers that I've talked to said that the classes in the early 50s, and then I'm going to say ours in 59, because they were just telling me, I think they were just probably just telling me that, but what were the glory days of Central? You guys were just phenomenal as far as not only just students, but you also have maintained that close relationship and like a family all these years.
That's why they call us the Great Generation.
Yes.
And I've got a group of friends whom you would know, every one of them, including Sally Ledbetter and Marty McCullough and Love Beasley. But we meet together once a year for a joint birthday party. We were all born within a month of each other. And so we take turns sharing the hospitality. And Marty McCullough just entertained us last week. And so we just had a birthday. We've done this for years and years and years. And we've been together from kindergarten through college. And so we know each other awfully, awfully well. In fact, Sally Ledbetter, she was from her mother was from Shelbyville, and so was my mother. And they were next-door neighbors in Shelbyville. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny, then the two women married men from Murfreesboro. and ended up being next door neighbors in Murfreesboro, which I thought was kind of interesting, two generations.
Now, were you one of the campus school students? Did you go to campus
school? Oh, yes, I went to campus school.
That's amazing, because that seems like the structure here in your generation, which is pretty close to mine. I mean, we're right on top of each other. Campus school meant an awful lot to the educational process back then.
It really did, and of course it was called training school.
Right.
And when you went anywhere else and said, they asked you what school you went to when you were in elementary school, and you proudly would say training school, they thought it was some kind of reform.
Yeah,
school.
So a detention. But the great thing, I mean, you were within walking distance of everything you went to back
That's
then.
True. We even went home for lunch. We walked home for lunch and then came back after lunch.
Now, could
isn't
you that, imagine that?
Isn't there? That strange? Yes.
Now, it's my understanding that after you completed your education, that you went into the service. Is that correct?
I was a 6 month wonder. I had been through ROTC in college.
But you did so much in that 6 months.
And, well, yes, I was in, they put me in guided missiles. I was at Fort Bliss, Texas. I was in with a bunch of mathematicians, and I was an art major, and I was in with a bunch of mathematicians and engineers and all these people, and it was just really rough. I had a hard, hard time. But so after we finished basic training in guided missiles, I had 2 months left to serve, and then I was going to have to serve 7.5 years in the reserves.
Uh-huh.
Then you had to commit for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent me then to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, to train basic trainees for the infantry. Well, I had never even been outside of a radar unit in or trailer or something in El Paso. And it was a different life to train for the infantry. They didn't care for me either because I didn't know what I was doing. We would go on night marches once they pushed me off of a cliff, and I was marching beside them, and the troops just kept easing off until I just fell off the cliff.
Now, what was your rank at that time?
At that time, I was a first lieutenant.
First lieutenant.
Yes.
Now, tell me, and I'm going to tell you who told me this, Bill Patterson.
Lord,
Bill Patterson wanted me to ask you about, he was talking about Jeep, but I think we're actually talking about a tank, right? Your episode with a tank?
That was during basic training at Fort Campbell.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They rotated roles around among the cadets, and we were being trained by the paratroopers, and they had no respect for us at all. I remember when I
was a paratrooper, so I can understand.
Okay, so you understand. Well, when I was on KP, this is getting out of the tanks,
yes.
But I was on KP, and I didn't realize it was very important. Did you ever have KP?
Yes, I had KP.
All right. So you know the role.
The worst duty in the service.
Horrible.
Yes.
And you know
yes.
The role that you had on KP was determined by the time you arrived at the mess hall.
Yes.
Well, I just took my time taking a shower and all mm-hmm. that after I was waked up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go down there. I thought, well, there's plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got there, of course, I was the last one of the KPs on duty, 5 out of 5. So I had the worst, which was the pots and pans in the sink.
And you wouldn't wash them one time. You'd wash them 10 times.
Well, they were as big as a swimming pool.
Yeah,
you had to
yeah.
get in them. They yeah. were just like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just had a scrubbing brush and a mm-hmm. cake of GI soap. That's all you had. So, anyway, they just were terrible to us. And my sink was between two wood-burning stoves, and this was in July at Fort Campbell, and no air conditioning, no nothing.
Wood-burning stoves?
Yes, wood-burning stoves. It was an old section of the fort they had opened mm-hmm. to train us. And so...
It was World War II, the barracks
were
there.
It was Korea.
Yeah, yeah.
Korea.
Yeah, but what you were having, yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm yeah. sure they were World War II
right.
things. So this cook, who didn't look like he looked like he really belonged in an institution, but he could hardly stand us college boys. Oh, they just hated us. So when I would turn around and I would be in this up to my, well, up with a lot of soap.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so he threw this great big thing. He was washing the floor, and he threw this great big pan of hot water on me and pretended like it was a mistake. Well, it made me furious, and the sink that I was working in didn't have a plug. It only had a rag and stuff. So it made me so mad, I thought, yeah, I'll fix you. So I took my hand way down the sink, and I stuffed the rag down the drain until it went disappeared down through the drain. Well, the pipes went through the supply room where they kept all the food, and it had this big airtight door that went into it. So about the time the cooks were ready to prepare the meal, they opened this airtight door. This wall of water came through the mess hall where the sink had stopped up. And this cook said, "What in the world? Why didn't you say something?" And I said, "Oh, I wondered why the water wouldn't stay in the sink." All the cooks had to scrub the floors and everything to try to get ready for the mess. But I had lots of experience. But the tanks, that was just... when I was tank commander, they said, "Well, just tell them what you want them to do." And I had five tanks, and so...
Now, how did you get to be tank commander to start with?
Well, it was just a role that I had was assigned for a few hours one day. Somebody else the next day would be tank commander.
That's the Army way, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, see. Yeah. Somebody that knew nothing whatsoever about a tank.
Yeah.
But they thought all I had to do was just stand in there and tell them where to go. Mm-hmm. So... they told me I was supposed to be at a certain locale at a certain time. Well, I could see the location across the golf course at the officers' club at Fort Campbell. And so I just said, I directed the tanks. I said, "Head for that." Well, here come five tanks plowing across the officers' club golf course. And they just left these great big ruts. They were very unhappy.
I'll bet they were.
They were very, very unhappy. I was at war with the Army most of the time.
You should have been in one of those MASH units, you know, like they had on
television. Oh, yeah, I watched
it. You would have been absolutely perfect for that,
Jim. I watched it all the time. Yeah, I'm afraid I would have fit in there pretty well, all right.
You know, you never change no matter where you are. And I guess we need to tackle a little bit about what we're supposed to be talking about today. I'm not too sure,
but
we're talking about the candlelight tour, and what are we looking for? I mean, if people are interested in that, and James, we'll let you get started, and then we'll continue on and try to make some sense out of something that we're doing today.
All right, we'll do the best we can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I'm supposed to follow up that story with the candlelight tour, but the candlelight tour this year is on North Manny Avenue.
Okay.
And North Manny Avenue historically was the driveway to Oaklands.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was prior to the Civil War, you would go down Lytle and turn left onto the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And now we call that North Manny, and that was the first subdivision in Rutherford County when the Manny started selling off lots off their property. And we have about seven beautiful houses on North Manny, and of course
gorgeous Oaklands houses, yes,
mansion and the Central Christian Church that'll all be open. And it's Saturday, December the 3rd from 4 to 8. And we also have interpreters throughout the mansion, as you were mentioned earlier, that tell the history of the family that lived there and the history of Oaklands and of the Merseburg community too. And they're all dressed in period costume, and we'll have hot apple cider and cookies and caroling in the reception hall that's also included right along with the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our gift shop will be open, and we have vintage stocking stuffers and local artisans and handmade toys, so you don't have to go all the way out to the avenue to find some great Christmas gifts.
Now, how do people do you have tickets, or what are we looking at as far as joining the tour? I mean,
buy a ticket at any house on the tour or Oaklands that night. They don't have to buy them in advance.
Okay, but can they buy them in advance?
They can, but they won't be there very quick in advance. We won't sell out. We promise to let everybody in, but if you wanted to, say, buy one for a gift for someone, we can certainly arrange for that.
What's the price of the tickets this year?
They're $10 for adult admission.
Do you go in groups when you take part of the tour?
No.
You don't?
No. No, it's come and go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. It's a continuous thing then.
Any way you want to start.
All these are private residences except for Oakland's, and these homeowners just open their house and let you come in, and you can buy a ticket at the door, and then you get it checked off at the next home that you go to. So most people will start at Oakland's, park there and buy their tickets, and then go on down Manny Avenue, but some might say they want to start at Central Christian Church, and of course you won't have to buy a ticket. The churches are always free.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because for some reason I thought this tour was one that you were kind of supervised from one home to the other. So, when you have contact with the homeowner, that pretty much starts your tour for whenever you want to get started.
The tours of the mansion are usually about the way you're talking, with a supervised group being led through the mansion at different rooms and different stories
and so on.
But for this, which is, by the way, Truman, is our biggest fundraiser of the year, this helps us with our budget a whole lot for the whole year. And this, combined with the patrons party that's the next week, which will be, by the way, at Wren and Ransom Jones. Mm-hmm. And those two together, James, make up how much of our budget? Probably a quarter of it.
A big portion, and we're right here at the end of the year, so we want everybody to come out and support the museum. And you were talking about the way the tours are done. Mm-hmm. In the mansion, we'll have people stationed throughout the mansion, and they will tell you about the room that you're in. So that is unusual. On a daily basis, you would have a single person guide you through the house, but you'll have a lot of great people, and many of them in period clothes that they handmade themselves, to tell you about that part of the home.
Now, how many homes do you have that are set up on Manny Street?
We have six homes, a store, the Central Christian Church, and Oakland's.
Okay.
And they include Nancy Morris, who has a big house on the corner of Main and Manny, right, catty corner across from the Central Christian Church. Mm-hmm. And that's where the tour will begin. But you can start anywhere on the tour. Then there are Bill and Sarah Jakes. Bill has published one book about Murfreesboro, and I bet you've got it, Truman, postcards of old Murfreesboro
and all this.
And they have a cottage which was built in 1923, and it was built by the old settlers will remember Bell Brothers Lumber Company, which Bell Brothers built it for one of the Raglans, who later became grocery moguls. You remember Raglan Potter and C.B. Raglan?
In fact, I think my dad worked for him at
really?
One time.
Really? Yeah. And my dad may have worked for him at one time, too. And Raglan Brothers, there were three different big wholesale grocery companies. Then Marie and Glenn Eubanks, they have a big Victorian house built in 1898. And it was built, this is another name you'll be familiar with, Roy Burns.
Mm-hmm, yes.
It was built for Roy Burns, who was kin to the Roberts. Mm-hmm. And later when Marie Eubanks got the house, Mrs. Roberts, Annie Roberts, helped her a whole lot with telling her what the house had been like back when she remembered it and so on.
Wow.
So, and during World War II, they used that house to rent, I think, to servicemen's wives who were here on maneuvers.
Wow.
And so Marie
said, I never even thought about that. It was kind of interesting because
She said every room had a deadbolt on it so they could keep them separate.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sharon Petty has two Victorian cottages. Sharon has a bed and breakfast business.
Yes.
And her cottages are all furnished in period furniture and very attractive. I've been there. One of them is an 1880 cottage, which is painted a taupe color. I wasn't exactly sure what that was. But then 1899, a gray house. So those are the two houses that she is putting on. Mm-hmm. She has several others, but these are the two. She said that's all she had time to decorate. So
that's a lot of work for each individual homeowner.
Terrible amount of work.
I couldn't imagine letting anybody come through my house.
Well, that just will. It's a labor of love, Truman.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's because, and of course, we're trying to promote their street, historic Manny Avenue. Not many people. Everybody thinks of historic Murfreesboro as being just Main Street.
It's Main Street.
But Manny was very closely associated with Maine too, because of the Manny family. And then there's Gordon and Sarah Bell, and theirs is one of the most interesting houses.
It is a
in town.
Beautiful house.
You've been there. We've
many
both
times,
been there.
Yes.
And it was built in 1866. And it's so interesting because it's got that gazebo on the end of the porch, mm-hmm. only one I know of in town. But that's on the porch. Mm-hmm. I know there are other gazebos. But
before we go any further, let me take a quick break. Because I want to get into that in depth.
I'm kind of talky.
No. Just want to let you know that part of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used cars. And one thing about it, after you buy that vehicle from Stan McNabb, you will have a vehicle that will have free oil changes and tires for the life of that vehicle.
This is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Let's look ahead and see what's happening this coming weekend. On Friday, Riverdale High School is hosting the historic Battle of the Borough football face-off between Riverdale and Oakland. That kickoff's at 7:30. Ghost tours every Friday and Saturday night on the historic Murfreesboro Square from 7 until 9:30. The tours begin at Big B Cleaners on the square, and it's $5 per person. To Kill a Mockingbird continues at the Art Center of Cannon County, and The Boys Next Door is over at the Lamplighters Theater in Smyrna. And the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro is having auditions for Guys and Dolls 3 to 6 this Sunday. And this Saturday from 10 until 5, it's the Rutherford County African American Heritage Festival over at the Bradley Academy. Oh yes, that includes the popular Turnip Green Cook-Off Contest. That's 10 until 5 this coming Saturday over at Bradley Academy. That's at 415 South Academy Street. And here's a bicentennial event for this Saturday. From 10 until 1, it's Family Tree Day at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. Learn how to research your family's history and preserve old photographs. The admission's free, and they're also giving away some trees. That's 10 until 1 this Saturday at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. And this coming Sunday is the Heart Walk over at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. The activities begin at 1 o'clock, and the Heart Walk starts at 3. I'm humbled to be this year's Heart Walk honoree, as a result of my triple heart bypass this past June. The Heart Walk starts at 3 o'clock this Sunday at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. And I look forward to seeing you there.
Stop by Southeastern Tire Service before you head off for your winter travels this year. We're a full-service repair facility, so we can get your car in tip-top condition before you head out. Also, from October 31st until November 28th, when you buy 4 Michelin tires, you'll get a $70 prepaid MasterCard through mail-in rebate. That's at Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto. Southeastern Tire Service, serving Murfreesboro and Rutherford County since 1950. Visit southeasterntireservice.net.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you? Readable meal, I said to get yourself to the readable meal. Readable meal, I said to get yourself to the readable meal. Billy.
And you're listening to John Blankenship and Friends, and Friends would be Avant Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, and Billy Yearwood, and they're at the Readable Mill every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the mill, as everybody knows by now, it will be 200 years old next year. It's a major part of our history, not only in Rutherford County, but also in Cannon County. And every Saturday morning, they open the doors up for one of the best breakfasts you've ever had. And everything is made right there at the meal, because it is a fully working meal. And if you'd like to go down there and just enjoy the fellowship and just have yourself a great time, take about a 10-minute drive down John Bragg Highway. And then on your left, before you get into Cannon County, you'll see the sign. Take about 2 more miles, go in, and tell Tom Brady how much you appreciate him restoring the mill and giving it some value again, and a place where everybody can go in and enjoy the history of Rutherford County. And that's what we're doing right now, isn't it, Jim?
It certainly is. And when you said something about the readable meal, I had breakfast there last Saturday morning.
Good for you.
Yes, I did, and it was delicious.
Right? I go there almost every Saturday
morning.
Do you
really?
Yeah, it's one of the few places I can go and relax and just really have a great time.
Because I've got a real history of mills. My father owned 2 mills here in town. We had a flour and meal mill on West Main. Mm-hmm. And then we had, after we had such terrific competition from some big national corporations, that we tore it down and bought a feed mill called Jam Up Mills, which was on Front Street.
I remember that.
Do you remember Jam Up?
Yes, sir.
And I worked, when I was a teenager, I worked in the summers. My father believed that you earned your keep, and so I would work in the mills on...
Now, how old were you when you were working in that mill?
Oh, I probably started when I was about 12 till I was about...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, maybe 16 or 18 or something. Maybe.
That's why you're so well-rounded now, isn't it?
Well, I've got my dust in my lungs and can't breathe right. We were talking about going in Sarah Bell's house. And
yes,
I want to finish telling you about this. This the big Victorian house, Queen Anne style, on Manny Avenue. The house originally, we think, probably was... Italianate style, like Oakland's itself. Mm-hmm. But one of Mrs. Manny's sisters, whose name was Lavinia, she was living there in 1878, even though it was built in 1866. But the earliest record we have of her was that she was there in 1878. And when the Mannys, did they lose their money? James, something happened, and they, or was it because Dr. Manny died? Or?
Well, after Dr. Manny died and he left the plantation to his daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. Adeline Cannon Manny, her husband died after the war, too.
Okay.
And so she was left as a widow there at Oaklands with that big house and property, and that was just too much for her to keep up, and mm-hmm. she had to sell it at auction. And that's when she moved in with Lavinia.
So she moved in with Lavinia, uh-huh. right. And in 1892, they changed the style when Adeline moved in with Lavinia. They, weren't they the daughters of Governor Cannon?
They were, yes.
And okay, and they changed the style of the house completely, drastic remodeling, and made it a Queen Anne house instead of an Italianate, and raised the ceilings and put that fancy porch on it and all that stuff.
What's the difference in style? You're talking about two different styles.
Yes, two different Victorian styles.
What is the difference in those two styles?
Well, Italianate, has got a lot of arches. That
right.
was kind of symbolic of usually arch windows, arch columns on the porch, and they go in a lot for where Queen Anne, and usually Italianate is balanced formally, like you have a center section and then you have a same structure on one side of that center section as you do on the other, and
right.
kind of like the Southern colonial style that we're used to with the big columns
yes.
and all that.
Yes.
Well, Italianate was still formal looking, but when Queen Anne came along, and it was much more stylish in the late 1800s, and it did not balance. It's just like Gordon Bell's house has now. You've got this gazebo on one side of it, and then you've got a formal with a stained glass window on the other side, and and all kind of turrets and strange little windows scattered around and balconies and things. That's Queen Anne.
Now, will Gordon and Sarah Bell be there when the guests come through.
I'm sure that they will be.
And will they be the ones that will actually be explaining the history of that house? And
I feel sure they will. They're so proud of it. I feel sure they will be.
You're very well informed about almost everything that has to do with that house. And and they have done such a wonderful job, Gordon and Sarah Bell both, as far as making sure that it is absolutely one of the most gorgeous houses in Rutherford County.
That is very true. You know, Sarah even painted a lot of those designs on the ceilings herself, stenciled those designs, and they are really beautiful. The house is very, very interesting. They are also collectors, and they collect all kind of historic mementos and souvenirs and things.
You could stay there week just listening to
you
all of them.
You certainly could.
And one of my favorites is, of course, you know who John Bell was.
Yes.
And everybody that has read anything has probably read about the Bell Witch.
Oh, the Bell Witch. My grandmother claimed to have known the Bells.
Well, they have some of the memorabilia there.
I did not know that.
Yes, they do, on the second floor.
You know, Gordon Bell can do anything. Have you seen that secretary that he built out of a log from Oaklands,
yes.
I think?
Mm-hmm.
And it's gorgeous. And he carved bells in the, because everything he does has got a bell on there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
You're right. You're right. But you know, it's something really interesting. You read the book, didn't you? The Bell Witch.
Oh, The Bell Witch, yes, I've read it.
Do you remember Kate, the witch?
Kate, the witch, right.
Whenever they would try to do something with her, she would start to have this awful smell.
Yes.
And she would, if you try to carry her, she would be so heavy you couldn't carry her. You remember that?
I remember her pulling the covers off of everybody when they were asleep.
Right.
They're very, in fact, they think she was responsible for the death of John Bell, don't they?
Yes, and that's the one that they got the dresser from. And while Gordon and I were talking, I smelled this really strange odor.
Come on, Truman.
True. And he kept talking, and I didn't say anything to him. And finally he looked at me, "You smell it, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "I wasn't going to tell you that, though." And he says, "Yeah." And she just comes every once in a while, but it's always in a specific area. And it's usually around the stairwell and on up.
That is great. I think there's a cave there on the Bellwitch property, too.
Yes, there is.
They seem to think that Kate is in the... hid in there or lived in there or something.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew Jackson was supposed to have an encounter.
Yes. And the wheels all fell off of his wagon or something like that. Just all the same time. Some interesting.
There's no way we can stay on target. Keep on going.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, you won't let me finish talking. But the only other thing that I've got to tell you about is Leslie Roberts bought the old grocery store that is on Manny Avenue. I think it was Dunaway's Grocery, but I'm not absolutely sure about
that.
Now,
we may have to have a caller on that one, because I don't remember either.
But she has uses it for an art studio, I think, and she is going to have an art exhibit in that, and that will be part of the tour, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that should make a very interesting asset and to the tour. And then, of course, James has told you about Oaklands and can tell you so much more about Oaklands than I can, and so much more about the history of it. But that's basically what the tour is all about. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're really promoting historic Manny Avenue because it is such an important section of Murfreesboro and deserves to be protected. I think this may be getting off the subject somewhat, but I believe that the Demos family is trying to acquire one of the old houses there.
Yes, that's true.
And they're going to use it for...
Yeah, an office.
The office of their empire, their restaurant empire.
Yeah, and I'm so glad because they have meant so much to our community.
They really have.
And they brought in a certain style, and you probably know Jim well. I mean, he is one of the nicest people that I have ever run into. And as I've gotten to know them and some of the family, and actually some of the people that work at Demos's, I'm just so proud that they have decided to move that office in here.
I liked Mrs. Demos so much.
She
didn't move around from table to table, greeting everybody at the table and telling them how glad she was to have them and this kind of thing.
She was like a general going around making sure that everything was where it was supposed to be. and making sure the troops were all happy. I mean, she was really unbelievable.
I have a feeling that she ran a tight ship, too.
She did. She did run a tight ship. Now, part of this is still going to have Oakland's mansion in part of the tour, right?
Oh, yeah. Every year, Oakland's is on the tour.
Is that going to be kind of like the lead-in for everything for all of Manny Street? Well, or Manny Avenue. I shouldn't say street. I mean, that's terrible to say street.
Yeah. Well, at least you pronounce Manny correctly.
Yes.
That's an improvement.
I've been here long enough to pronounce it correctly.
Well, Manny Avenue is, as we said, the historic driveway to Oaklands. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to the North Manny Avenue improvement when they mm-hmm. finish South Manny. When you drive down the end of South Manny closer to Discovery Center now, and you can see what it's going to look like. It's going to be quite an enhancement mm-hmm. To the whole neighborhood, and we think draw more tourists. And so the people that come to the Candlelight Tour and walks on the old brick sidewalks mm-hmm. this year, the tour can come back later and see how much improvement they think has been done when the project is completed.
Now, we're talking about preserving Manny Avenue in the historical value of it. But, Jim, you know, around that area, there are some absolutely beautiful homes. And some of them need some attention, as
yes,
you well know. And
well.
Is there any way that
I own one or two of them. I wish you hadn't talked about how much attention they need.
But they're absolutely gorgeous homes. And I looked at one time and really thought maybe about buying it, but it would be just way too much for me. But is there any thought? Is that whole area under consideration when you're talking about preserving the Manny Avenue area?
I think that it is on the upswing and has been for a number of years. It used to really and truly went through a period where it was little more than a slum. But that has all changed now. And
how in the world could you ever be thinking of that as kind of a slum area?
Well,
it's absolutely. I don't care if the houses start to look worn or whatever. There's still something special about that area when we're talking about Lytle Street and College.
Oh, well, yes. And that wasn't part of the area I was talking about.
And all that area, all the way up to, I guess, Clark Boulevard from Maine to Clark. I mean, it's just something
Lytle
special about
and
that.
And College or... of course, everybody wonders, Truman, what is going to happen with Middle Tennessee Medical Center moving away.
Because that was going to be zoned medical at one time.
Pile of rubble,
yeah.
Right. And it's a great deal of what happens to that area, I think, depends on what happens to that piece of property. It could go up or go down.
Well, I think that Our leaders, and I'm talking about the city council and the mayor and all them, have really done a tremendous job. And people like you have given your time and effort to try to preserve the history of this community and maintain the atmosphere as you go through there. It will always be special to us, but you and I are going to be here for a few more years, and then you'll have younger ones and let's hope that they're encouraged to continue to do that. Of course, James is a young man.
Yes.
He's going to be there watchful of what's going on, but it's something that we need to keep focused on all the time, and I really appreciate the efforts that you're making in doing this. Now,
I'm such a small cog in the wheel. Truman, my wife was so interested in this, and she is the one that got me interested in it so much, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Polly was with Oaklands for such a long time, and while we're talking about the length of Oaklands, Marie Eubanks was one of the original members of Oaklands.
Mm-hmm.
There are not many of those left. I don't believe even Polly was an original member of it.
How far does that go back?
To 1959, when the city gave the mansion to Oaklands Association, when the ladies petitioned them not to tear the house down, but let it be open as a museum. And we also are a native tree arboretum. There are probably not very many people in Murfreesboro that know that Oaklands is both a natural wetlands. That's why the house was built there originally, to be by the spring. And that mm-hmm. along the walking trails, we have almost every tree that grows native to the state of Tennessee there.
Wow. That's amazing.
Including one white oak, which is over 250 years old, which is worth coming to see, if nothing else.
What made you get interested in this the first time? Because you're a young guy, James. you really are. What brought you in here?
I was born old.
Sound like us, Jim.
Born old.
I was raised by my grandparents. I don't like anything new.
Well, good for you.
Except Facebook. So if you haven't added Oaklands on Facebook yet, go do that. And you were asking about the neighborhood and what you thought the future would be of it. You know, the city has repaved and put in new curbs and sidewalks in most of that downtown area. Mm-hmm. And with that infrastructure in place, the next step is for people to appreciate downtown and buy into it or rent into it. You know, there are a lot of great people that are renting downtown and have even formed themselves on Facebook into downtown dwellers that are both homeowners and renters that have organizations and meetings downtown. And there is a lot more vitality in that community than there ever has been, and for a number of years anyway.
You know, people start talking about wanting to live downtown and close to the square. And the first thing you think about is East Main, which is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's the cornerstone of everything. But you can go a block or two blocks or three blocks or four blocks from there, and you really get the same thing. You really do. I never will forget. It's not a really large or exotic house, but when I was moved back here and I was thinking about, and I was going to buy another place, but I had to find a place to stay for a couple of months. I stayed in the old Jackson home, which was behind Central High School at one time. I believe it was on Lytle Street. Mm-hmm. And that was an extremely interesting home. They made homes different back then than they do now.
They did. Yes, they did.
And it seemed like there was a purpose for everything. And even though it wasn't a large home, you could have put a large family in there for today's standards. But they have their own personality. There's something about homes that were built back in that era and even closer to now that it just gives you a different feeling when you're living there.
Don't you think it's because lifestyles were different then? That's why the houses were different. Families sat down to a meal together, and so you had a dining room.
Yes.
Many of these new houses don't even have a dining room.
No.
And everything has changed. Of course, that's one sign of old age, that you think everything has changed and you've been passed by and all this kind of thing.
But even in the old homes, you can still make positive renovations in there, because you remember, and I do, when the Bell home, which we were talking about on Manny Street, was a dance studio, and that was before that was before they had it.
Ann Holland had it. Ann was quite a dancer.
Yeah, she was. In fact, I had Ann in a class or two when I went back to school. She was teaching physical education, and of course I didn't have anything to do with the dance back then.
Truman.
I couldn't dance like my uncle, but my uncle Ben could dance now. But
Ben was always a good dancer.
I could never be in his league.
Ben could also play the piano quite well.
Oh, great entertainer.
Yeah.
He was the lead in a couple of plays they had at UT when he was going there.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, he was the only one in the family that had any ability to entertain. The rest of us were pretty much left out.
He had enough for everybody else.
Yes. Well, I'll let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. They have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have 6 items for lunch at just $6. Enjoy their Sunday live brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TV, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue.
It's been a busy week, and it's finally winding down. Too tired to cook supper? Stop by Kirk & Burt's and pick up our family pack to go. A pound of barbecue, buns, and your choice of side, all for just $9.99. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Kaysen Lane, just down from the theater.
On country lanes and city streets, We smile and shake hands when we meet. First Banking, come on over, come on in. First a customer, now a friend. We're here to serve, and it's you we're thanking. There's a name for it, First Banking.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with us and talking to James. And we want to make sure that you're aware of some of the things that are going on that night and how it's going to be scheduled. So fire away, James.
Well, again, the tour is Saturday, December 3rd from 4 to 8. And the tour takes at least 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to come at 7:30 and think they're going to get their money's worth. Mm-hmm. We'll sell tickets right up to the end, but we hope you can be there at least by 6 o'clock so that you can see all these homes. Mm-hmm. You're going to be walking from many of them if you're able, mm-hmm. And you might park at Oaklands or move your car a few times if you need to. And we mentioned earlier that the ticket price is $10, but I did want to tell you all that we also have discounts for students. Students are $8. Ages 6 to 12 are $5, and your children 5 and under are free. So we try to make this something that you can bring the whole family to, and we hope everybody will come out and they'll take the tour, they'll come to the gift shop, do their Christmas shopping, and don't forget that we have free refreshments. Wow. Hot apple cider, mm-hmm. and cookies in the reception hall at Oakland. So even if you've been on the tour of Oaklands before, we want you to come and see the visitor center and visit us in the reception hall. We'll have caroling there as well.
I'll probably come over because I love hot apple cider, and it's going to be perfect for that night because I guarantee you it's going to be cold, so they better dress well.
I think, did we mention that the choir is going to be at the Central Christian Church?
No, we haven't.
And appropriate Christmas music, and mm-hmm. The church will be decorated for Christmas, I think. They're going all out to be a real part of this tour.
Now, the Central Christian Church, is that off of on East Main?
It's at the corner of East Main and Manny.
Yeah, that's right. So are you going to be there singing with them?
Talk about running everybody away. Remember, they'd run screaming into the night. They'd think it was Halloween instead of Christmas.
Now, did you guys have anything to do with the one that we just had, the little tour where they go through? Is this more like a thing that would happen during Halloween where you have the tour through Evergreen and things like that?
Yes, Oakland sponsored the tour of Evergreen Cemetery.
Tell me about that, because I have never done that, and I didn't even realize that you guys had already completed it.
Mm-hmm. We do it every
which
year.
Which is aggravating, because I was really thinking about doing that this year.
We do it every year.
I don't know how I missed it.
You haven't been reading the calendar of events on our website.
I am like Jim. I am challenged when it comes to stuff like that. People like Jim and I, we're over 40 years old. We're barely over 40.
For those of you, we put posters all around the square this year, and they had our full calendar of events for October. We have an exhibit that's still on mm-hmm. through Monday, mm-hmm. and it's a mourning customs exhibit. And we have items on loan from Woodfin's Funeral Home and from Jennings and Ayers. Mm-hmm. We have Jennings and Ayers funeral coach, horse-drawn mm-hmm. funeral coach in the reception hall at Oaklands. The mansion is still in mourning. You can still come and take the mourning tour. Mm-hmm. We have the death scene of an adult in the front parlor and the child in the back parlor. All the mirrors in the mansion are draped in black, and all of the clocks are stopped. And the tour guides are giving the tours in period dress and mourning attire. And so that's still going on. You haven't missed that yet. But every year we give tours of Evergreen Cemetery. And it's not a ghost tour. It's a historic tour. And we tell about the people that are buried there that had an impact on the community. Mm-hmm. And each stop has a different volunteer. And they're all dressed like the person that's buried there. Mm-hmm. And we have some fantastic volunteers. And we hope you'll mark your calendar for it next year.
So what time do you actually walk through the cemetery at night?
We start the tours right before dusk so that the folks that are maybe having trouble walking and are worried about stumbling, they can come on and get the tour before dark. And then we keep going till 8 o'clock. So the ones that want to take the tour at night and maybe catch a glimpse of a bat flying over or see if they hear some ringing bells in the cemetery, they might get that too, because, you know, there's always somebody to work the graveyard shift and listen for the ringing bells. And you'll learn a lot of interesting stories like that on the tour.
I have heard that there are some interesting sights in there late at night. Of course, we've all seen movies where the ghost walks at midnight. And We all have a little bit. I don't think anybody walks through a cemetery late at night feeling comfortable. Now, if they do, they're a little bit different from me. But I never will forget. And I'm not going to say who it was, but there used to be a police officer that when he wanted to take a break, he would sneak over into Evergreen Cemetery and park his car and take him a little nap. And they found out, some of his buddies found out about it. So he pulled over and right next to where an open grave was. And I guess they were probably going to use it for the next day. Yeah. And while he was there, one of them had snuck over into that grave and started calling his name. And within a couple of minutes, that car was gone, and out there, and never did come back.
There was something about those mirrors draped in black, and do I have this right? They draped the mirrors in black after a death because the first person that saw himself in the mirror would be the next to die. Is there something like that?
Yeah, that was a traditional belief at the time. And the mirrors are draped in white in the room. If there's a death of a child in the house, they would drape the mirrors in white, and they would drape white fabric around the front doorway to represent that they're in mourning.
Now, the theme for that, of course, was Halloween, the one that you just went through.
No, in October, we discussed the mourning customs of the Victorian family.
Oh, so it really didn't have anything to do with Halloween.
No, it just happens to be a kind of a pre-Halloween thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a ghost tour or anything exactly.
No, we don't talk about ghosts and goblins, but we talk about the different ways Victorian people mourned very differently than we do, and they were actually worried that people might not be sad enough and might not mourn for them enough. The concept of moving on with your life and feeling good and celebrating life, that's new, and we want to tell you about how different it was at that time.
In fact, widows usually, they had to wear black for a long time back then.
And then they moved to purple after that, didn't they?
They began to add some color in afterwards.
And then they wore purple for the next year or something.
Women usually mourned about 3 years for the loss of their husband. But if a man had lost his wife, he might mourn as much as, say, 3 months because, you know, he had children. He needed to move on with his life. Find another wife.
It seemed like we took things a little bit more serious back then.
Very different.
Because now we're in an era where there's things going on all the time, and you've got to stay caught up with what's going on. And if you go into some type of mourning after a while, it used to that they would look down on you if you didn't stay in mourning.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true.
If you're a widow back then, my goodness, they would be after you if you decide to even get a date 2 or 3 months later.
Might be considered a strumpet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or a tart or something of that nature. But it was, a mourning was, and you know, death was so much more common then. Because my grandmother and grandfather had 10 children and lost only two while they were young. Mm-hmm. But it was not unusual for a family to lose half of their children before they were grown. It was just, there were so many diseases, there was so few cures for anything. And there was no penicillin, there was none of all these miracle things.
And now people live as long as you and I
live.
That's
right.
That's amazing.
You can blame it on the medical profession.
Yeah, it's all their fault.
You can hold them responsible. Yes.
Now, is there anything we need to cover, guys? Because we are out of time, unfortunately. And I told you guys, it goes too fast when you get up here.
Well, if you don't have a computer, call us at 893-0022, and we'll give you plenty of information about the upcoming quilt show, the very end of the morning tours, or of the candlelight tour.
Now, what's a quilt show?
We have a quilt show going up throughout November in the reception hall, and these will be quilts that are not rare, they're not often seen on display at Oaklands. We have quite a few quilts in the archive that are not on the beds.
Are these older quilts that have been made many, many years ago?
Yeah, they are all historic quilts.
You're not saying people get to roll on the quilts.
Then. They don't get to roll on them, but they can they can look at them hanging on the wall.
Okay.
We, including the Soul School that you remember. About the Soul School girls made a quilt and they all signed their names in it, stitched their names in it, and that's our most beautiful quilt that we have that's hardly ever seen.
I'll tell you what, I think we could stay here and talk another 2 or 3 hours.
We've sure had fun.
I've had fun, and we haven't even really made a dent in it, but James and Jim, I really appreciate you. You've been really fun guests. I mean,
our pleasure.
You guys are what makes life really, really great, and you really are. And I think, Jim, I'll probably see you at the big event tonight.
At the symphony tonight.
At the symphony at 7:30, I believe it is.
We're so lucky to have the symphony, yes.
Yes, and most people start getting there at 6:45, and it's going to be at on Thompson Lane at the Methodist Church.
That Methodist Church, the acoustics are wonderful, and it's so comfortable. It's a wonderful place to have it.
And I don't care if it snows. I'm going to be there tonight.
That's right. It's a, it may not.
Grab life and stay with it.
Yeah, hang on to it.
We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
So long.
Bye-bye.